It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're doing. Thank you for listening. This is where I'll be for the next 4 hours. Consider yourselves lucky. This is the beginning of the show. It gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's in New York City. And we got a lot to get into on this Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. Shout outs to all my people listening on the East Coast, the West Coast, over the Pacific, over the Atlantic, over a border, wherever you're at. Thank you. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158. If you got yourself a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. I guess this is a dog days of summer, right? We actually got college football starting this weekend. A couple of games. You got one in Dublin, Ireland. We got to wait a little while for some NFL action. We got quarterbacks like Tua saying that he was getting, I don't want to say his feelings hurt. We got another quarterback in Tom Brady saying the quarterbacks of today are basically babied in preparation. And we have some guests who are going to come through and join us as well. How about this? In about 20 minutes, Zach Stevens is going to come through and join us, covers the Denver Broncos on the beat. I'm going to ask him about Bo Nix. We got so many questions answered over the weekend about some of these starting quarterbacks, whether it be the Las Vegas Raiders saying we're going to go with Gardner Minshew, or whether it be some of the more obvious ones, you know, Jaden Daniels getting the call from the Commanders. Sean Payton hasn't given the complete go-ahead on Bo Nix yet. So we're going to have a chat with Zach Stevens about that in about 20 minutes. And then as we continue on with the show, how about this? In a few hours, we're going to be joined by former NFL quarterback Steve Berline. Yeah, he got his bones, actually got a championship with the Cowboys. Didn't throw a lot. But then also at the same time, he was an expansion quarterback, you might recall this, for the Panthers. And right now, he's just been tasked. Brand new gig, brand new job. This man is now a radio analyst for the Dallas Cowboys. Good. So we'd be chatting up with Steve Berline. Get some thoughts and insights into the quarterback world with Steve Berline. He'll come through and join us later on in the show. And speaking of quarterbacks, you know the Olympics is done. You know that. Paris, it's over. The next time we have the Olympics will be here in the United States of America, out in Los Angeles in 2028. There's going to be no breakdancing. That's over. No breakdancing. Despite what you heard, it wasn't just because of the Australian woman. But we will have flag football. And there's some NFL players who want to play. And there's some individuals who, I guess, help build up the Flag Football League. Yeah, whatever that is. They're not so happy about NFL players getting automatic bids. We have an update when it comes down to Brandon Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb. No new contracts, but it looks like we might be getting closer. Speaking of contracts, Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State, OSU, this man, he doesn't want to talk about contracts anymore. This man wants to just get to football. And OSU, they're still trying to make money. They're basically putting QR codes on the back of their student athletes' helmets so you can donate, like going to church or tipping at the restaurant where you shouldn't have to tip for takeout. Anyway, we got a lot to discuss. If you want to be a part of the conversation, any conversation that we're having, you can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's see my multitasking skills. You can also find me. I'm online. I'm on the internet. I'm everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. And I just hit the retweet button on everything that we will discuss here over the next 4 hours. And then some. And of course, at the end of the show, I'm going to share with you a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's August 20th. What are some historical things that took place in the world of sports on August 20th? We'll get into it. But first, Ryan Hickey, how the hell are you doing? You good?
I'm a little depressed, I'll be honest today, JR.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
It's seasonal depression has already hit.
Why? What happened?
Today, at least here in the Northeast, I don't know how it is down by you. I know you're in the tropics basically 24-7.
Okay.
It felt like fall today. Oh. High 60s, low 70s. You had that crispness in the air. Oh, no. And I'll be honest, it's depressing. Look, football weather is great, don't get me wrong, but summer's fleeting here. You know, in New York, you only get so little amount of time of beautiful weather and sunshine. I'm not ready to give it up. And it's people are saying it's a false fall, so you know, I don't it's not going to be fall the rest of the rest of August.
If it makes you feel any better, it's about, I don't know, 87 to 90 outside right now.
Jealous.
And I did see a guy. I know it's a guy. Well, he had a beard, so I assume it was a guy. He had on a knit cap and a hoodie.
That's,
when I walked,
come on.
When I walked into the building, does that make you feel better?
What are we doing?
What? Well, I don't know.
Was he trying to lose weight? A knit cap and a sweatshirt in 87 degree weather?
I don't know. You should see some of the high school students. It would be 95 degrees outside, and they will wear, Nike, what is that? You know the Nike fleece, the thick one?
Yeah, that's crazy.
They'll wear the Nike fleece hoodie with the Nike pants and some sneakers and then like a skull cap, and it'll be 95 degrees outside. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
Neither do I. Kids these days, you know?
I don't
know.
Maybe they have it figured out. Maybe shielding your entire body from the sun will keep you from getting hot. I don't know. I don't get it. Not me. It's hot outside. I don't want to wear any clothes. But if they want to wear fleece in the summertime, maybe they know better than me. Heck yeah, I don't know. Does that make you feel better?
I guess that or the AC in school, wherever they're going, is cranking up, which that's also a problem.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, listen, man, it'll be back to 90 degrees before you know it, so you'll be okay, all right?
I hope so. That just helped. Some of the depression has left my body. Thank you, JR.
Well, you know what? That's a good excuse. You're welcome. That's a good excuse for us to start off the show by talking about a couple of teams that play in the NFL in the Southeast. How about a team right here in Atlanta, Georgia? Because yesterday, Atlanta gave us some news, and then Tua Tagovailoa also gave us some news. On one end, and I told you we're going to get into quarterbacks because that's what the world is trying to figure out right now. We got Jaden Daniels starting. We got Gardner Minshew starting. We got Caleb Williams starting. We found out a couple of other starters. We get it. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, I guess it's safe to assume that Kirk Cousins is going to start, right? Of course. Gave this man a big old contract, $45 million a year, 4 years, $180 mil. He's the guy. And then they decided to go ahead and draft Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall. But Michael Penix Jr. has only played in one preseason game. And he is now going to be in mothballs for the remainder of the preseason. There's only one more game at the end of this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so we had quite a few callers last night saying that, no, Michael Penix Jr., he needs to play, he needs to pick up reps. And I'm saying to myself, well, why the hell does he need to pick up reps? They kind of know what he's doing already. And Hickey brought up a great point. Hickey is just like, well, I mean, if he's going to be on the bench, every little bit helps. And then Hickey also had another great point, and he also brought up the fact that, you know, what the hell is going on? Do they think that there might be a mutiny if Penix plays well in the preseason? It's the most Atlanta Falcons thing that would possibly happen. And so Raheem Morris, he basically gave a further explanation. Yesterday he told everybody, he's like, I've seen enough of the guy. And I said, you know, when you get down to practice right now, teams are practicing against one another. The preseason games are not as valuable, not for everybody. You know, there's not a one size fits all. And so Raheem Morris had more of an explanation outside of his press conference, because he sat down with Kay Adams. And Raheem Morris, he was basically asked if Michael Penix Jr., if the reps he gets at practice is, the same as preseason and doesn't matter with other positions. This is what he had to say about valuing quarterback reps in the preseason compared to other guys. Listen to this.
You can prepare yourself by mitigating injury, and we've learned so much more in the new game of football and new age of football that we've changed every single year. We've changed the way the game's been played. We changed the way the hits are developed. We changed the way everything's going. So we got a different approach, and our approach works for us. We got them 25 snaps last week of a bunch of different things that we can simulate. Now we're getting the reps out here against one-on-ones and ones versus twos, twos versus ones. I love the competition, and this kid's going to develop, and he's done a great job of doing it already, and I'm fired up to see him to keep maturing and keep going.
Hickey, so basically what he said was, this is my interpretation. We love Michael Penix Jr. so damn much. And Kirk Cousins is 36 years old coming off of a ripped up Achilles. We don't need our other quarterback who we drafted, who blew out his knee, and blew out his other knee, and then blew out his shoulder, and blew out his shoulder again. We don't need some rogue eighth stringer knocking him out in the preseason. Is that an accurate interpretation, or am I making that up? Probably making it up.
No, I think you're right. Like, that's without saying directly that, that's essentially what he's saying. Because, you know, mitigated risk. He talks about controlled environment in these practices compared to a preseason game. I think you're right. Well, he will not explicitly say it. It sounds like he is scared to death right now of Michael Penix Jr. getting rolled up on by a practice squad player, him being out for the year, and then having, you know, I guess a question mark with Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles.
Look, is there anything worse than, I don't want to say having two stars, but the quarterback is the most important guy on the team. Is there anything worse than having two guys that have to drive the boat, drive the bus, and drive the car, whatever the hell it is, the airplane, or fly it, than having both of them be injury prone? That'd be awful. You'd be like, I don't know, the Los Angeles Clippers. Whoever thought this was a good idea? By the way, Sadra, whoever thought it was a good idea to have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? And now Paul George is in Philadelphia playing with Joel Embiid. Now, which one of them two guys is going to get hurt first? Come on, let's be real. But anyway, the Falcons are afraid of their own shadow at this point in time. I think I alluded to that last night. They overreacted. They overcompensated. You know, they found out that they were ugly at the quarterback position. Their own owner said that we were deficient at the quarterback position, Arthur Blank. And so they overcorrected. They were told to stand up straight, and now they look stiff as a board. They were told that they were ugly, which they were, and so they put on too much makeup. This is what the Falcons did in selecting Michael Penix Jr. Yeah, they were ugly last year. Now they got on too much makeup. You don't need both of these quarterbacks, but they're both here. And so if you got to break glass in case of an emergency, you have Penix Jr. there. And let's just wait. You know, I'm not wishing an injury on anybody. Kirk Cousins isn't bothering nobody. People here in Atlanta, for the most part, seem to be okay with him, you know, taking over the reins of the team after the disaster of Heinicke last year and Mariota. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if Kirk Cousins gets hurt. It will only take Kirk Cousins throwing, I don't know, two interceptions in a game or three or a bad loss before people go, or a string of two losses or three before people start going, hey, put Penix in the game. That's going to happen regardless. Kirk Cousins is going to have to light it up. No further explanation needed. Hey, preparation is great. Different ways to get it, different ways to learn. Michael Penix Jr., after all the injuries and the elongated college career, even bouncing back, helping to take Washington to a national championship, counts for something. I don't think the guy's just sitting on ice, you know, twiddling his thumbs while Kirk Cousins just, you know, stands around in due time. And for the Falcons, I guess they certainly hope so. Get Kirk Cousins the hell out the way and move on to him. That's the hope when you select a quarterback at number 8. It's just a matter of time. Just wonder how this situation is going to work. Is Kirk Cousins going to want to leave willingly? Is he going to have success? Are they going to suck? Are they going to just cut him and drop it? Falcons are just, they're wild. Doing too much. DTM. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Me? I'm not doing too much. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about another quarterback situation. This one appears to be a little bit more clear cut. It's the one that's going on in Denver, Colorado right now. The job, you would believe, belongs to Bo Nix. Zach Wilson has been playing well. What does this mean for Stidham? Who's going to be the next reliable wide receiver behind Cortland Sutton? How are you filling a hole at Justin Simmons now here in Atlanta? And Sean Payton. Is he in a better mood than he was last year? Because that guy was miserable. We're going to talk about it all. Zach Stevens covers the Denver Broncos beat. We'll ask him for some answers. You're locked in. Congratulations. It's the beginning. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
No, no one has ever called me that. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got a lot of settled quarterback situations so far, right? Washington is set. Chicago is set. Las Vegas is set. But then if I go to the Mile High City, it's, well, Sean Payton is keeping things close to the vest, at least for now. We'll talk about everything going on with the Broncos, their quarterback situation, what they could look like this season, how they plug some holes on the defense, wide receiver. I can go on and on. But right now, it's time to have a conversation with Zach Stevens, who covers the Broncos for DNVR Sports. Zach, how are you?
JR, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. I appreciate the time and you coming on. I guess the first question out of the box, we have heard Sean Payton be so effusive in the past about the selection of Bo Nix at number 12, and now he's kind of just slowed things down in naming a starter. What's he waiting for?
Yeah, he's waiting on the next 24 hours, JR. I think in the next 24 hours, tomorrow morning, I believe he's going to tell the team that Bo Nix is their week one starting quarterback. Because like you said, he has been all in on Bo Nix. He put all his chips in on Bo. Despite being the sixth quarterback taken, Sean Payton has not talked about Bo Nix as the sixth quarterback in the draft. He identified him when he went out to Eugene to have a private workout with Bo, and this has been his guy. And out throughout training camp, the final 3 weeks of camp, after a rough first week in camp, the final 3 weeks of camp, Bo Nix continued to just take off in his development, and obviously we've all seen it in the two preseason games, 23 of 30, 205 yards, two touchdowns, led his team to scoring every single possession that his tight end did not fumble. Six of seven possessions ended in scores. That one that didn't, he had a tight end that fumbled. So he is the guy. It's only a matter of time until he's named the guy.
Oh, Zach, what does that mean for the other two quarterbacks? We know Stidham is the most experienced. You can take a look at Zach Wilson. I've heard good things are happening with Zach. And so how does that bear out? Are they going to run around with three QBs on a roster?
You know, they very well might do that. And I got to give all the credit in the world to Zach Wilson because the offseason was rough for him. He did not look good in OTAs. He did not look good in mandatory minicamp. In the first half of training camp, he did not look like he was going to make this roster. However, he really has developed nicely over these final 2 weeks of training camp to where he has a shot to make this team. But he would make it as the third quarterback on this team because if Sean Payton stays true to his word, and it's about truly finding the best 53 guys on this roster, Jarrett Stidham is a better quarterback than Zach Wilson right now. But I could see them keeping three, and in fact, that's my guess, is they do keep three because of Zach Wilson's talent and his development. And I know that Sean Payton thinks that there was no worse place for Zach Wilson to go to develop as a quarterback than the New York Jets. So he still sees that number two talent in Zach Wilson, and that's why I think Jarrett Stidham will be the backup, and they will keep Zach Wilson as that third guy.
Yeah, we all heard how Sean Payton feels about the Jets offensive coordinator in Nathaniel
Hackett. Oh, yeah.
We do. Zach Stevens is joining us, Denver Broncos beat. Well, is there a reality as we get into the season – that if a quarterback goes down on another team, I mean, could a team look at Zach Wilson and go, we'll trade for him, or is he kind of going to get stashed away on Denver?
You know, that's one thing that I think if the Broncos were to release Zach Wilson, he would get picked up by another team. So there's a chance if a quarterback goes down that a team trades for him. But look, Zach Wilson is more of a developmental project right now. He's the Sam Darnold of 1 year ago, where Sam Darnold went to San Francisco, got to just breathe Kyle Shanahan's air that he was in, and then he goes out and gets $10 million on the open market. That is what Sean Payton wants to do for Zach Wilson. Just have him be around him for a year, soak up that knowledge, and then he hopes that Zach Wilson can ideally be the Broncos' backup quarterback moving forward. Jarrett Stidham has 1 year left on his deal. I don't expect the team to go out and make a strong push to get Zach Wilson to be their starter right now, especially after a poor preseason performance in the second game. He was really sharp in week one. But he could change that with a strong third preseason game this week where I expect him to play a lot.
Well, Zach, you think about the quarterbacks. Outside of Courtland Sutton, who's going to be the guy to step up where they can get the ball to somebody reliable?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things Sean Payton has tried to do with this Broncos team is make their receiving core huge. And that's what you have. You have Cortland Sutton, who's 6'3". You have Tim Patrick coming back from back-to-back season-ending injuries, who actually might lead the team in catches because he's going to be that Mr. Reliable for Bo Nix as a rookie. And then you picked up Josh Reynolds from Detroit. He's also big. He's skinny, but he's tall. And then the Broncos have this seventh-round rookie, Devon Bailey out of Utah. He is Tim Patrick 2.0, and he has been the best Broncos receiver that's young. They've got Marvin Mims, they've got Troy Franklin, but it's been the seventh-round rookie, Devon Bailey, who's really stole the show. And I mentioned Troy Franklin and Marvin Mims. Those are two speed guys. They've kind of been non-existent in training camp and in the preseason. So it's going to be a group of really big receivers. And Sean Payton points back to this game in 1998, where he was on the opposite side, and there the other team had tons of big receivers, and he said, that's what I want on this Denver Broncos team this year. And so that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a receiving group by committee, but it's going to be a big committee in terms of their height.
Oh, Zach, you mentioned Troy Franklin. Is he kind of sticking around because he played at Oregon with Bo Nix? Like, if he's not producing, is he just there to see if they build some type of camaraderie eventually?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's looking like right now. Plus, the Broncos traded up in the fourth round to go and get him. So they've got a lot invested in him. But Troy Franklin was obviously the connection with Bo Nix and the connection with just being such a big play threat that the Broncos offense has so desperately lacked. It seemed like a home run pick. But Troy Franklin has dropped about half the passes that have come his way in training camp, and he is not moving his way up the depth chart. In fact, it's looking like he's going to have a redshirt year, really sitting back. And if it wasn't for his fourth-round pick selection, he wouldn't be making this football team this year. Now, that's not to say that he's not going to develop into something, but people should be looking at 2025 and beyond for Troy Franklin, not 2024.
As Zach Stevens is here with us from DNVR Sports. Zach, the defense stunk last year, okay? There's no other way to put it. Justin Simmons is now gone. You bring in a John Franklin Myers. You still have Surtain. But overall, what's the expectation from this defense? How are they going to kind of keep things even with likely a rookie quarterback at the helm on the other side?
Well, you mentioned they stunk last year. I don't think they're going to give up 70 points in a single game this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. But it's all about making this defensive line better. You mentioned they lost some big pieces in the secondary. They lost Justin Simmons. They lost Kareem Jackson. They lost their starting inside linebacker, Josie Jewell. But they beefed up their run defense. One of the biggest issues with this Broncos team last year was they could not stop the run for the life of them. In fact, they had a four-game stretch that was the worst run defense in Denver Broncos history. They gave up nearly 1,000 yards rushing in a four-game stretch last year. So that was the number one thing that George Payton and Sean Payton pointed to at the end of the season. They said, we need to go beef up our run defense, and they did that. They got a guy by the name of Malcolm Roach from the Saints. Sean Payton knew him because Sean Payton brought him in as an undrafted rookie a few years ago, and he was one of the best run stoppers in the league. They traded for pennies on the dollar. They got John Franklin Myers from the Jets, so they've got a much improved run defense. The key with the defense, because they still have Pat Surtain, I believe the best cornerback in the NFL, the key is going to be, can they get any pass production or pass rush production from a bunch of young guys that they have? A Nick Benito, who was a former second-round pick. A Baron Browning, who was a former third-round pick. They used a third-round pick on Jonah Ellis this year. Can one of these guys get a double-digit sack season and be a beast in rushing the quarterback? Because they haven't had a 10-sack person since 2018 when Bradley Chubb and Von Miller did it. That's a long time without having a guy with double-digit sacks. In fact, in the NFL since that time, it's been 126 different players with a 10-sack season. The Broncos have zero of them.
Yeah, I can relate. I'm here in Atlanta. We go back two more years prior to that, so I can relate. Zach Stevens is here with us, Broncos beat reporter. The team started off awful last year. We're talking 1-5. They were able to basically even things out towards the end, 8-9. What is the expectation from the fan base this season? From a general consensus, I don't think it'll be 500. This is strictly who's going to develop as we build for the future, right? The record is sort of irrelevant.
Yeah, well, it's all about the Bo Show. And it's if Bo Nix can become that guy to compete an extremely competitive AFC West. We've got Justin Herbert. You obviously have Patrick Mahomes. Thankfully, the Raiders don't have their guy in terms of a Broncos perspective, because if the Raiders find their guy and the Broncos are without a quarterback, oh my goodness, that is not just going to be a tough year or two. That's going to be a tough decade for the Broncos. So it's really about finding the guy before the Raiders do to be able to compete in the AFC West. But what I will say is this Broncos team, expectations are much higher internally than they are on the outside. I believe the Broncos win total in Vegas is 5.5 right now. The Broncos and Sean Payton expect to blow that out of the water. So from an external standpoint, people probably aren't looking at the Broncos as being a 500 team at all. Sean Payton will be very disappointed if this team is not as good as they were last year, which was a mediocre 8-9, but they lost Russell Wilson, took on the biggest dead cap in NFL history to do that. They moved on from Justin Simmons. So I understand why the nation expects them to take a big step down, but Sean Payton thinks that they actually got better at the quarterback position, better on defense. So the expectations internally are very different than outside.
And how has Sean Payton been? His attitude moving into year number two last year, kind of prickly. I mean, whether it was Russell Wilson or even the old coach who had nothing to do with them anymore, is he a little bit more toned down? Is his attitude still the same?
You know, he is a little more toned down. In fact, earlier this offseason, he admitted, the quote he said was, "Yeah, last year I guess I came in and I was peeing on trees," kind of just marking his territory. And that's what he did. He was very intense, not just inside the building, but outside the building. And he has taken a step back. This is his team. Last year it was not his team, specifically at the quarterback position. Now it's his team. Bo Nix not only fits in with what he wants to do on the field, but he fits in with the personality of who he wants leading this team. Justin Simmons, a great leader for most teams, not the type of leader that Sean Payton wanted. So he moved on from half of the captains from last year in order to make this his team. It finally is his team. And we're seeing a little different Sean Payton. The phrase he's using is this Broncos team is young and hungry. And he says young and hungry can be very dangerous. So that's what they're relying on here. They're relying on a young team that will embrace their head coach and take after the coaching, because he doesn't think last year's team was very open and responsive to coaching. Hmm. He believes this team is.
Well, he thinks that they're going to be, I guess, close to 500 or maybe better than what they were last year. What do you think they're going to look like, Zach?
I think they are going to be better than the 5.5 win total in Vegas. I think they might take a little bit of a step down, maybe 7-10. Mm-hmm. I could see them being 8-9. I do think that Bo Nix is exactly what Sean Payton wants as a quarterback. And I think Sean Payton is going to do a fantastic job of not forcing him into a Sean Payton system, but instead bringing in the Oregon offense to the Denver Broncos and really helping his development. And that is so key to help young quarterbacks transition along. And I think Bo Nix is going to be a guy that at the end of this season, the nation is talking about as being one of the really good young quarterbacks in this game. He's not going to be anywhere close to the elite level yet, but he is going to surprise a lot of people. And I think at the end of the season, we're going to be saying, man, he was the sixth quarterback taken when he was better than J.J. McCarthy, and obviously McCarthy with the injury, you can't judge him this year, better than Drake May. And I think people are going to be saying, okay, this Broncos team is going to be making a push for the playoffs and will be a playoff team in 2025.
Okay, we're going to see. I'd love to see it. I love a good surprise. Hey, Zach, where can people keep up with you and all your work with DNVR Sports?
Man, over at Twitter, Zach Stevens, DNVR, where I'm over at the Broncos every single day covering them. And I really appreciate you having me on. And like I said, stay tuned tomorrow morning. I think we might find out some information on Bo Nix officially being named the quarterback.
It's just a matter of time. Thank you so much, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, JR.
We'll do it again soon. That Zach Stevens covers all things Denver Broncos for DNVR Sports. That'd be fun to see, right? Bo Nix goes out there and lights it up. Sean Payton, I guess he feels happy about his guy, because we know how he felt about Russell Wilson. And what's with Russell Wilson? Pete Carroll didn't want him. Sean Payton didn't want him. Is Mike Tomlin going to want to want? We're going to find out sooner than later. Give it a few months. We'll have some answers. Hey, good luck to Bo Nix when it comes down to his development. You know what? A matter of fact, on the other side of the break, you know, speaking of development, we heard from Tua Tagovailoa yesterday. Basically said that his former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, told him every day, you suck, you need to get better, you're not good enough, and this and that. Well, Brian Flores had a response to that. We'll hear what Brian Flores had to say on the other side of the break. Tom Brady had his own thoughts, overall sense, about quarterbacks and their current development. We'll hear about Brian Flores. We'll get into to Tom Brady. Mike Gundy from OSU had some interesting comments. We got a lot to do, so don't move. Thank you, Zach Stevens.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Zach Stevens for joining us in the last break to talk about the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton seemingly loves Bo Nix. Bo Nix certainly got a lot of seasoning in college. Ended up lighting it up at Oregon. Hopefully lights it up for the Denver Broncos. Hopefully. Thank you, Zach. Zach is like, hey, he thinks he's going to be a quarterback improvement over Russell Wilson. Damn. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Hickey, let me tell you something. If Russell Wilson doesn't have a career resurgence, remember, I think it was a valid argument with his career trajectory maybe 4 years ago, maybe, that you could say he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Right now, he just kind of looks like he's scrambling like he does on a football field.
I thought even like 2 years ago when he was traded to the Broncos, it was laughable at the discussion of, oh, he could fall out of the Hall of Fame race. I thought it was a lock. Two, three short years later, I'm with you. This has gotten ugly very fast, and now it almost seems like it'd be a surprise if it makes the Hall of Fame, because that would mean he turns his career around. And from what we've seen, what we've heard so far from Steelers camp, does not seem like it's going to be a big year for Russ in Pittsburgh.
I think he would need to help lead a team to one more Super Bowl, and I don't know how likely that is. I mean, with all these new young quarterbacks, I don't know. But we'll see what happens, but this Steelers season is certainly going to be interesting. Thank you again to Zach Stevens for joining us from DNVR Sports. If you want to talk to me like I just spoke to Zach, you can call up. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I told you about Tua Tagovailoa. He said that Brian Flores was basically a terrible person and told him he sucked every day when he was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Very different than what he's received, the type of love from Mike McDaniel. And so his former head coach, Brian Flores, he actually had some thoughts. I want to share that with you momentarily. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines first. Let's talk to Chris from Florida. Hey, Chris, you're on the JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network. What's up?
Hey, JR. I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your show. You got a good, fast-paced, intelligent show going on. And I want to talk about the Falcons. Yeah, the Falcons quarterback situation. I'm from Georgia originally. And people were talking at one time about Kirk Cousins being upset that they drafted Michael Penix. But he was drafted as the other guy behind Robert Griffin back when Washington took him in the fourth round. So he's been the other guy, you know. I don't think he's worried about the rookie.
The difference is that was the same draft. I mean, the difference is that they just gave him a contract, and then they basically drafted his replacement like right after that. So I think it's a little bit different. I will agree with you on this. I don't think Kirk Cousins is beyond or bothered at all. I think was he a little bit kind of like anybody. Wait a minute. Why? You didn't get me a wide receiver. You didn't draft somebody on defense. I mean, you drafted my replacement. I think it's natural for him to just go, well, what the hell are y'all doing? But I think at this point in time, I think he's understanding of what the situation is, and I think he's also understanding of, hey, they gave me a 4-year deal. Am I guaranteed to be here all 4 years? Probably not. So you got to take it as it comes.
I don't think anybody thinks Penix is ready right now either. So
not right now, but I think break glass in case of an emergency. They're going to throw him out there. So we'll see.
Yeah. And Penix, he played at Auburn for about 6 years, as far as I know. He was killing Georgia the whole time.
six years? I mean, why are we tacking on more? Well, there's a lot of guys that seem like it. Well, thank you, Chris.
I appreciate you.
No doubt about it. Yeah, Hickey, who's the QB? We got a QB out in Utah. He literally is. Isn't he the oldest guy in college football right now?
Cam Rising. Started at Texas in 2018.
Is he, season number 8?
I believe seven.
Seven?
I think seven, if the math adds up.
Isn't there a guy who's been... No, there's another guy. There's another guy who's been around like nine seasons.
On Miami. He's got like a million medical... I think this is year nine.
He's the tight end in Miami, right?
Yes. It's on his ninth year.
He's like injury after injury after injury.
He's almost 30 years old.
Yeah, hold on. I think I got his name in front. Nope, that's not him. Jerry... Oh, now I found the list. The oldest guys in college... Jerry Bohannon, quarterback at BYU, seventh year. Alan Bowman, Oklahoma State, seventh year.
He's been around a long time.
Okay, we got another guy. He looks like a wide receiver. Brant Cuthie on Utah, seventh year.
Yeah, tight end.
Yeah, Cam Rising, seventh year. There we go. Tyler Shough at Louisville, seventh year. Casey Thompson, Florida Atlantic, seventh year. Jack Tuttle at Michigan, seventh year. Here we go. Cam McCormick, Miami.
There he is.
Ninth year. Class of 2016.
That's the year I graduated college. That's why that feels like ages ago.
So let me ask you. When you've been playing football for this long, what are you doing academically? Like, you taking, like, one class? Like, what, 9 years? Is he a doctor? Like, what is he doing?
That's a great question. How is there more school for him?
What do you do? Do you get two bachelor's degrees? What do you do?
He'll be the most impressive college graduate, maybe in history.
Man, if I was in school for 9 years, I would think I'd have a master's by it. I'd be working on my doctorate. Probably more than that, 9 years?
That point, right? You should have your doctorate.
And listen, he's probably specializing in rehab. That's what he's been specializing in. Damn, you know, God bless you. You want to play football and whatever makes you happy. You get one life, go out there and live it. And speaking of Miami, I told you Brian Flores, he did have a reaction to Tua Tagovailoa, basically saying that he chewed him out, told him he sucked every day, called him everything in the book. Brian Flores today said it actually hurt hearing Tua say that about him. Listen to this.
Look, I'm human, so that hit me in a way that, you know, wasn't, I wouldn't say it was, you know, positive for me. But at the same time, I've got to use that and say, hey, how can I grow from that? You know, how can I be better? And that's really where I'm at from that standpoint. Do I feel like, you know, that's me? No. But, you know, how can I grow from that situation and create a world where that's not, you know, the case that anyone says that about Brian Flores?
Well, now Brian Flores, he happens to be the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. So, I mean, Miami, they had a chance and an opportunity to either keep Brian Flores and dump Tua or dump Tua and keep Flores, and they chose the quarterback. And it seems like it's worked out for them. Hey, so Brian Flores, okay, are you a different type of guy than when you were coaching Miami? What's going on, Brian? Tell me.
Part of coaching is correcting. You know, I'm always going to correct. I'm always going to have a high standard. And I think, you know, look, I've done a lot of reflecting and, you know, on this situation. And, you know, I think there's things that I could do better, for sure. And I've grown in that way. And I've tried to apply the things that I could do better and the things that I've learned, you know, over the last, you know, 2-3 years. But I would say over the long haul, I've had a lot of great relationships over my 21-year career here in the league.
Besides the lawsuit part. But outside of that, if Tua Tagovailoa said, hey, you know, let's have a chat and hash it out, would you do it?
So that's something I've thought about. And, you know, maybe when that time is, you know, arises or is available, I'm certainly open to that.
Hickey, it'll be a pat on the back and hey, good luck next game. That'll be it. And they don't even play each other this year. So I guess we'll never see it.
Yeah, but next year, I mean, maybe like you said, little meeting at midfield. If that, maybe Tua gives him a cold shoulder, but you move on.
Man, I just find it interesting how Tua got the money and now he's comfortable enough to just say whatever the hell he wants now, right? I don't think he would have said this if he didn't have all that money in the bank. I don't think so. You get the money, you get the cash, and now you got free reign to do what you want.
Is it money, or do you think it's security?
Same thing.
I guess
no?
they go hand in hand, right? Because now he's got paid, but now he knows he's not going anywhere in Miami for the next few years. So now he's secure. So maybe he can start speaking his mind.
Wouldn't it be cool if we had other players throw their coaches under the bus? I mean, Bill Belichick got it, but it was always via, I don't want to say also ran type players. We never, you know, not even Tom Brady. He understands it. Randy Moss. None of the stars threw him under the bus. I need players to actually destroy their coaches like Tua did to him. Tell us the truth. But the current and active players, for the most part, they really don't ever want to talk bad about the coaches because they're worried about their next job. You typically got to be a little bit older, a little bit more grizzled before you can get out there and start talking the crap and telling the truth and being honest without fear of repercussions because of what the hell you said. Tua Tagovailoa said, hey, they just gave me $53 a year. I'm going to say whatever the hell I want. I think he's done now, though, anyway. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Well, speaking of being old and saying whatever the hell you want, Tom Brady's not throwing the ball anymore. And Tom Brady has some thoughts on the current development of young NFL QBs. And Mike Gundy, yeah, he said, well, did he say something stupid? I'll let you decide on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.